This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello. On this week's program, we're going to hear from two winners from the USEA American Eventing Championships. Matt Brown, who won the Adequan USEA Gold Cup Advanced Final riding BCF Bellicoso, will be here to tell us about his win. Robert Kellerhaus, who was the organizer of the event, will be here to review the competition. And after a couple of items of news this week, we'll be hearing from Cody Houseman, who won the preliminary rider division with Quantico. But first, a note that with the recent surge in popularity in the use of bib or racing martingales, US Equestrian has published a statement of clarification with regard to Rule EV115.3B, saddlery for cross-country and jumping test. Providing that the bib or racing martingale is used with rein stops, it is considered an unrestricted running martingale and is therefore legal to use. You can find a full statement regarding this rule on the website at useventing.com. And registration is now open for the 2017 Annual Meeting and Convention, which takes place from December the 6th through the 10th at the Westin Long Beach Hotel in California. And there's a link on the front page of our website to the convention pages. And joining me now is our first guest this week, Cody Houseman. Cody, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you today?
Well, very good, thank you. And I know it's been a couple of weeks now since you won the preliminary rider at the AECs. I'm sure it's sunk in by now and you've had your celebrations. But what does this mean to you to win that after the year that you've had, Cody?
It was definitely an incredible experience. I've been describing it as a Cinderella year for me after what happened to me in May, and then alone just going to compete at AECs and then being able to win my division, it was an incredible experience, and I never would have thought in a million years it would happen. The chances are so, it's just the odds are against you, but it's really quite amazing, and it's a new chapter in my life for sure.
I'm sure. Well, this year has been, as you say, pretty awful with what happened in May. Why don't you tell everybody here what happened when that horse kicked you? And let's just be clear, it wasn't Quantico, was it, that kicked you?
No. I was working for a polo player in Aiken, South Carolina at the time, and I had worked for him for close to a year, and we were at a game, and he came off the field on one of the ponies and went to pull the tack off, and I just surprised this pony, and they're kind of high strung, and I just surprised her, and she kicked me, and she kicked me in the rib cage on the right side and immediately went to the ground. And thankfully, of all the places that I'm on horses, it happened where I was surrounded by people and there was an ambulance by. So they took me straight to the hospital in Augusta, and I ended up having 3 surgeries within the next week. I was in ICU for 4 days. I had massive internal bleeding because I had a grade 5 liver laceration. So my liver was basically split in half. And I now have, after I left the hospital, I had one more, a couple months after that, to go remove a stent that they had originally put in. So it was just, it was a very bad week and quite a battle for the next couple of months after that, as I went to ER a couple more times for random complications due to what happened.
And how are you now health-wise? Because obviously you were fit enough to ride despite the layoff there for over 2 months not being able to ride. How is your health now?
I'm basically back to normal. Ever since mid-July when I started riding, just been getting stronger and stronger. I had lost 10 pounds in the hospital because I basically didn't eat for a week. And it was 10 pounds of muscle. And I'm not a very large person, so that was a large percent of my muscle that just disappeared. So I'm almost 100% back to normal. I'm weak riding, you know, at certain times, but it's much better than it was even 2 months ago.
Now, how about the psychological impact of this and your nerves? Because I hear you were nervous last year in that big arena at the Tryon International Equestrian mm-hmm. Center. But when you got there, there was a lot of things, I'm sure, going on in your mind, having been able to recover well enough to be able to ride at the AECs and fulfill that dream. But what about the psychological impact? How was your nerves when you got to the competition this year?
You know, last AECs, it was my fourth prelim. So it wasn't just that I was there. It was that I, even though I had qualified, I plainly didn't feel very confirmed at the level. And I trusted my horse, but I was still nervous. And then this year, between last year and this AECs, you know, we had a few more good runs. So I was just more confident that even if I messed up, that we could get around because my horse knew his job so well. But it was definitely going into the George Morris Arena to show jump, sitting in first place. My nerves were pretty high the day before and the morning of, but honestly, when I got on my horse and walked up to warm up, I felt quite calm because I knew that he could put in a clean round. And once I started jumping, he was jumping out of his skin. He was jumping amazing and he felt great. And I was like, okay, you know, as long as I pilot him around and get him in straight to the lines, he can do it. So that my horse is what gives me the most confidence, especially at AECs and in warm up, definitely.
Well, interestingly, of course, because of the layoff, you had not had that many runs with him prior to the AEC. So how did you feel about your preparation and going as far as you got with him to get him ready? And then when you arrived and doing that first dressage test with him there, how confident were you?
Well, I very gracious for Bobby Mayrhoff and his wife, Danica. As soon as I was injured, he contacted my parents and said, hey, I've been in that position where I couldn't ride. If she wants to send her horse to us, we'll keep him going. So I definitely took them up on that offer. So while I couldn't ride, he was at Mayrhoff show horses being ridden and kept in shape for me. So whenever I could get back on, even though I was behind, he was where he should have been. So I felt confident in him the whole time, which let me focus on getting myself, you know, doing no stirrup work and getting in shape. And I rode for a week and then I entered Windridge Farms horse trials to go training level. I had spoken with Bobby about it and he's like, you know what, go out a level below and that'll tell you. Cause if you go around and it's a little iffy, then you'll know you can't go, you know? And if you go out and you're strong and you feel confident, then you know you're ready. And so we did. We went out to Windridge and we ended up winning the training level. So, and he felt strong and I felt strong. And so that really played well. So honestly, whenever I got to AECs, even though it's a big atmosphere there, we went into dressage warm-up and I had made a plan. My dressage instructor in Monroe, North Carolina, Diane Ritz, she had been, you know, really prepping us quite well. So I was very confident going into the ring that we could at least put down a solid test and you know, not embarrass ourselves necessarily.
Well, you don't seem to embarrass yourselves at all when it comes to dressage. You've had scores in the high 20s, low 30s consistently with this horse. So you were quite pleased then, were you, with that? Even though it was in fifth place, you certainly made up for it because you finished on your dressage score. So take us then to the cross country, Cody, and how that course walked for you and how you were feeling about that ride before.
Right. So walking it, the last event that I did before I was hurt was the Fork horse trials, which were at Tryon International. So I did have that going for me. I had ran prelim there. So I had been around almost the same track. Obviously they had changed fences up, but I had done the basic footprint that we were running. So thankfully I had that going for me. But I enjoyed walking that course. They were, you know, they definitely threw in some big cables and some really great questions, and they used the terrain a lot down towards the bottom at the river. Really my only question was how the footing was going to be because it started spitting rain the day before. And so I went and preliminary horse ran before preliminary rider. So I went down to the bottom, and for anyone that's never been to Tryon International, kind of back behind the barn, the horses get to run all the way down to the riverbed. And I was wondering, you know, if it was going to be muddy. So I kind of went and watched, and there were definitely some horses sliding in to the first fence in the bottom as you came down the hill, and I saw some run out. So watching that didn't give me more confidence. I was like, oh, wow, okay, so these big-time professionals that are riding their horses are having runouts down here. I should leave now because it's not helping me out mentally. So I watched a couple, and I finally watched Ginny Brannigan run through there on her preliminary horse, and she, of course, made it look like a cakewalk. And I was like, all right, I'll quit on that. And I went back to the barn and got ready, and I basically decided that I needed to be not necessarily aggressive, but you couldn't hold all the way down that hill. You had to balance and then send them forward, even though the footing was just slightly slick, you know. So that was basically my game plan before I got on the horse.
And did it ride according to plan?
It did. I had actually, when I walked it, I had walked some of the lines with more strides. So I had walked a 4 and a 6. And as I got around, my horse felt so good that he was actually opening up and jumping great. And so I ended up getting 3s and 5s, and he was just able to take strides out in certain areas because it was riding so well. And, he ate up the distances in between any of the questions that were related. So it rode very well, even though it rode a bit longer than what I had walked. But I don't necessarily call that a bad thing because he was able to get in under time easily that way.
And take us through the show jumping then, Cody, how he came off the cross country and how you felt about the show jumping round.
Right. So I had let him gallop at basically his own pace going around cross country, and he came off, and he's, even though he is half warm blood, half thoroughbred, he pulses down and cools down very fast. Basically you get off even after cross country, and within 5 minutes he's breathing normally and just very nonchalant. So I felt his recovery was very good. I went and I believe in lots of therapies, so I had a PEMF done on him, which is that pulse electromagnetic field, and that seemed to relax his back even more. And when I got on for show jumping, we walked up and they had 2 rings because the main warm-up gets too crowded, so they send you up to an upper ring to walk around and trot around some before. And I got up there and I kind of did a lot of stretchy trot, and he felt just as free as any other ride, and he felt like he was ready to go. And I had some friends there helping set fences, because last year my parents helped, but they don't know if you would say, put up a vertical, Mom. It wasn't very vertical. it was kind of funny. So I had some actual show jump helpers helping me, so that helped keep me a bit cooler and calmer this year. And really he came around and I trotted over some shorter verticals and hopped over some bigger stuff, and I did less than 10 fences. He doesn't need much. I just kind of jump enough to warm him up and for me to know how he's feeling that day. And he was quietly marching right up to them and picking his knees way up and landing and cantering away very softly. So that made me feel good. And the rider before me went in, so they call you to go into it's almost like a tunnel that you have to go into to get into George Morris Arena. And I was like, oh, I'll hop a couple more. And there was a vertical set at height and a square oxer set at height. So I went and I jumped the vertical on an angle, went right and cantered up to the oxer, and I didn't ride anything at all. And he hopped over it but took out the back rail, and I was like, uh-oh. Maybe I should hop one more. So I cantered around and jumped one more, and he jumped it beautifully. So I was like, okay, fine. We'll quit with that. Take a deep breath. And I went in and I watched the woman ahead of me finish her round. And basically at that point, it's like, okay, put your game face on. Try and, they let you in and you go trot in front of as many as you can. And then you pick up the canter, and that ring is so big. I remember from last year, I had time faults in stadium. Because it's so big, you kind of get lulled into just cantering around, but you have to keep your pace to get around within the time in that show jump ring. So that was my main goal, is like keep a nice forward pace and stay out of his way, and he jumped around the whole thing great. I remember I landed after the triple, and there's one more fence after that, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, if we pull this, I will be so disappointed. And then I checked myself right back and, you know, rode the distance that came up, and he jumped it great. And I was so excited. I told my mom before, I was like, if we jump double clear, I'm going to cry. And I kind of started like tearing up a little bit after we jumped it. And my grandparents and my grandmother's sister and her husband were there. And so it was so amazing to be able for it to all come together with so much of my extended family being able to come watch. My grandfather has maybe seen me go around an event once before. And so it was just spectacular that they were able to go there, and my parents were there, and so many of our friends were there, that it was magical. And we walked out and I definitely started crying, and I was like, pull it together. 'Cause we have to go back in for photos. You know, it was pretty funny, but magical at the same time.
I'm sure, because you didn't have a rail in hand. You had a lot of pressure from those that mm-hmm. were ahead, of, you know, right behind you there. So no mistakes. And obviously you pulled it off in style and had a lot to celebrate with the family, extended family being there, as you said. So why don't you give them a shout out and the help that you had for the AECs too?
Yeah, definitely. So Abby Nelson and her daughter Haley, they have helped me so much. Everything, and they've been longtime clients, and they were there for me every step of the way at AECs. And Abby's grandfather and grandmother, they were there, and my parents, obviously, and a bunch of other people from the Waxhaw area, just Lindsay Stiano and Cindy Crosby. Cindy braided for me on show jump day or dressage day, one of the days. And you know, without them just coming up and doing the little things so that I could actually focus on my ride, it would have been a lot more stressful that week. And there are so many more people that helped me, and I'm scared that I can't mention them all, but it definitely took a village to get Quantico and I around AECs this year. And I needed all the support that I received. And I am so thankful that they were there for me. In that time.
Sure. So what would have been your biggest takeaways from this then, in terms of your partnership with him, and what's next?
Definitely, it definitely solidified my trust in the horse. I have had a problem on cross country actually galloping fences out of stride, and I really just allowed him to jump, and it helped me trust him on cross country to just keep galloping at the mounts, and he can hop over things. And next for us, we would like to do the One Star at Virginia Horse Trials. There's time for an event between now and then. I haven't picked one yet. So an event, and then another prelim, and then the One Star, and then hopefully, if everything's going well, we'll think about moving up at some point, end of this year, beginning of next year. I'd love to run around intermediate soon.
And what are the big goals for you then, Cody, and the other rides that you have?
I just got a lovely mare owned by Lynn and Cassidy Garewood, and she's already evented through preliminary. So I'm bringing her along. So I would love to end up with her at some event, running prelim, and she definitely has the gallop and the scope for intermediate also, but it'll take some time. And I have a few young horses that I just want to bring along that, you know, they're green and they're young, but I love riding horses like that. So really, I just want to get out and take those young horses around, and hopefully late winter, early spring, I'll have Quantico and this other mare To the Mat coming out and running at prelim or above. You know, that's what I hope is in my next 6 months to a year coming around.
Well, finally, why don't you give a shout out to your coaches and also tell us who inspires you? Who are your role models in the sport?
Definitely, after my time at Tamarack as a working student, definitely Denny and Daryl. My time there was the most influential time as far as riding in my life. And I still carry them with me every ride generally, and I go back every year. So they are who I emulate, that might be a strong word, but you know, if I can ride and be consistent and quiet like Denny Emerson and Daryl in their riding and their training, that it would make me so happy as a rider and trainer. And here in Waxhaw, I do dressage with Diane Ritz, and she knows me and my horses so well. She knows exactly how much to push us and you know, everything that we need. She's good at getting the best out of us without pushing us too much. And, you know, Bobby and Danica Merhoff for keeping Q while I couldn't ride. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to just get back on and go run AACs. If my horse had not been kept up, you know, in proper shape, it wouldn't have happened at all, because he could not have gotten back in shape in 2 months to go run. So definitely Danica and Bobby. It's been quite a journey, and I'm thankful for everything that they did for me, even though I, you know, they've met me a few times, but I certainly hadn't been to train with them a whole lot or anything like that.
Well, as you say, it takes a team, it takes a village, and you certainly produced the results there by winning the Prelim Rider at this year's AECs, Cody. So congratulations again on that win, and the very best of luck to you for the future.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Well, Robert joins me now to review the AECs, which were an overall success. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we wrapped up, you know, the second year there at Tryon, and brought everything up in the right direction with a couple of noted exceptions. We were really, really, really pleased with how the efforts that Tryon has put in over their time there in that community to reach out to the audience and develop a Saturday Night Lights theme, regardless of what the horse sport is, from gladiator polo to jumpers to our Gold Cup Series final show jumping in the evening. They have something there for the local community, and the community comes out and an unbelievable number. And I was so pleased with the response that we had for our event riders to be able to ride in front of an audience like that. For me, it's always been clear that the level of difficulty that eventing is, and in order to accomplish well, and for us to have the Gold Cup finals there and to have those incredible horses and riders there competing and try on, for it to be done in front of an audience of 50, it's a little demoralizing, because it doesn't really capture the amount of difficulty that these guys face every time they go to try and do the dressage, cross country, and show jumping. But when it's in front of 5,000 people like it was that night, it really did put a proper bow on their accomplishments for that weekend. It was amazing. And I that's my largest takeaway. Forget about the fact that we had beat our record entry of last year by 92 entries from the year before. Forget about the fact that we had this entire cross-country course taking place where the World Equestrian Games were going to go, and incredible changes to Tryon itself and the vision that Bellissimo's had there is coming to fruition. That crowd Saturday night stands head and shoulders above anything else I could have hoped for.
And obviously that was the showcase on that evening. Let's talk about the logistics, Robert, because you came on the show, of course, a few weeks ago to preview the event this year and the changes that were going to be put in place. So talk us through the logistics of the event and how that all went, and the weather cooperated to some extent, I hear.
Yeah, you know, the weather is what it is in North Carolina. You know, it's a bit, they come and it's fairly predictably unpredictable. So we were supposed to get tons of rain on Friday. We didn't. It came in through one big fell swoop at 3:30 in the afternoon. We were supposed to get tons of rain on Thursday. We didn't. We ended up getting rains, but slow, steady rain. Actually, it was great for competing, and it wasn't any point where it was a deluge. And then, you know, we're supposed to get a little bit of hot, humid temperatures, and we never did. And it was lovely the whole weekend. So for the horses, you know, notwithstanding that 1 hour major rain delay on Friday, the weather cooperated, which helps with logistics. But the new site, if they call it the White Oak property, it's in construction in a lot of ways. The gallop paths are in great shape, and they're getting better for the WEG. But the areas between where we'd take emergency vehicles couldn't hold up to the water as well, because it's still getting the drainage installed. So we postponed the cross country to Sunday. And it, you know, all day long, Friday, it was sunny and nice and drying from the rain on Thursday. And we were supposed to run the cross country on Friday afternoon. Of course, Friday around 2:30, it looked like we should have been running. Friday at 3:30 after the rain came down, it was, you know, thankful we didn't. But the, you know, the logistics with the weather, they had a fantastic safety team, the Trion group, Sarah Broussard and her team of safety people meeting and looking at the radar and evaluating the conditions and making decisions with the Trion's organizer, Shelley. And it was really well thought out. They end up doing the right thing by pushing the cross country to Sunday. We end up getting a pretty decent group there to watch Sunday because of the delay, if you will. So I think that the, you know, the logistics as far as that goes, that was the biggest standout. We have, of course, we're parking 753 horses, had a lot of cars and trucks basically. And so we had some items where we're trying to make sure we could find adequate places to park the trailers. The Trion group came up with 2 offsite parking locations for all the trailers. It was tight, but it was manageable in the parking areas for people. People were had to be patient and look for a spot in the barns because there were so many horses going. But there are definitely enough spaces there to handle it. It's just it's not wide open parking lot like you're used to at a normal horse show. And then the restaurants, of course, the food's fantastic, but it might have taken you 45 minutes to get your food instead of 25. But the food was delicious when it came out. And there's some of the problems we deal with, you know, at that Trion facility are all born from the fact that they have this resort atmosphere with, you know, merry-go-round, 2 tech shops, restaurants everywhere, bars, you know, magic act, demonstration riders, all these things that are taking place that we've never had it before. So when it doesn't function at a perfect level, people get a little annoyed, but the reality is that we have it there and it's actually functioning. And it's an amazing attribute to the weekend when people are coming out to ride or to watch their friends ride or to watch the advanced riders go.
And as you mentioned, you had record entries this year too, so lots of wheels were turning.
Yeah, well, the scheduling was, again, Christina Gray worked on the schedule. We came up with sort of a boilerplate schedule to be able to allow us to handle the entry we had, and it worked out real well. And Christina did a great job of making sure that the multiple rides, the conflicts, because on Friday we've got Dressage Cross Country Show Jumping going all at the same time, and we have multiple riders with multiple horses in classes that did Dressage Cross Country and Show Jumping. You have to schedule everyone so they don't have some nightmare scenario, and that is a huge task. This year we changed the way the cross country ran, which allowed us to take more horses because we had more confidence in the ground. We could run all of prelim and training, for example, run cross country on Thursday. Last year we divvied it up. We had beginner, novice training, prelim, running cross country on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to help allow for the grounds crew to make adjustments to the footing as tracks went. So instead of running 180 novice horses across one space, we split it up into thirds. And so with that maturing of the grass this year allowed us to run larger sections of divisions, allowed us to clear more jumps out of the derby field, which opened it up and seemed more like cross country especially for the lower levels when they were going in that area. And really the whole thing came together again because of the education we had from running there last year. It allowed us to take the next step forward. And for it to take a next step forward is actually unprecedented. The AECs doesn't normally go up in a second year at a venue. And this year they went, like you said, we grew from 667 starters to 753.
What a fantastic competition then, all in all. Robert, what were your biggest takeaways then and what you will learn for the next AECs in 2018?
Well, the biggest takeaways is, you have to have a great team in order to pull the thing off. you know, the Tryon group worked well with our group. You know, Rob and Kate and, you know, the entire group we at the USEA have been dedicated to helping me accomplish a successful AEC the past 5 years. 3 years under a new model, which they really had to do because it is their property, it's their event. And they got actively involved in running things with me in Texas. And that was a big carry through because these guys have been, you know, co-organizers making this thing go. And I know they'll have success in the future, carrying it into Colorado and beyond.
Wonderful. Is there anything you would like to add, Robert, to summarize this year's AECs?
Well, just, you know, really thank you to the USEA for having this competition. I know they have a very large constituent base to appease. You know, there's some things to fix for sure going forward, as there always is. Nothing's perfect at one of these events, and they're trying their hardest to make it perfect. For sure, Bellissimo, Mark Bellissimo and his team and his vision and his goal to connect the equestrian community with our society in general and to capture the general public into getting them to touch horses. This guy, Mark, is doing an incredible job of connecting the regular person, if you will, to the horse. He's doing it through his Saturday Night Lights. He's doing it through his competition in Central Park, which Eventing has just been invited to attend for this Saturday. I believe it's September 23rd. These are all huge opportunities for our horse sport to reach an audience that we frankly have failed to reach as a sport, you know, not just Eventing, but all equestrian sports. And that Saturday Night Lights thing that I experienced was unbelievable. And again, that's a tribute to the vision that Mark's had with that place and with horse sports in general. And also to the sponsors, you know, the sponsors see it. I was sitting with Alan Mann from Attaquan. He's there and he goes to a lot of equestrian events. He knows horses upside down, inside out. He knows the business, he knows the people. And he was on board from the beginning with the Gold Cup, with connecting with event riders, supporting Eventing, and not just obviously Attaquan, but all our sponsors that have stepped up to the plate and helped us advance the competition forward. It's really a huge team effort, and I was honored to work with these guys.
Well, it certainly does take a village, as they say, Robert. Well, thank you very much for all the hard work you put into it and for taking the time to come on the program. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Matt Brown rode BCF Bellicoso to claim the Attaquan USEA Gold Cup Advanced title this year, and it's a result that means a great deal to him. How does that feel, Matt?
We are really excited. We couldn't have been happier with Bellicoso and with our whole team. I think we all did what we needed to do and put one foot in front of the other, and it ended up really working out for us at the end of the weekend.
Because it was quite a roller coaster with you. The horse has been off for quite a while, and you, for various reasons, had to focus on his training, getting him to this point in his fitness. So coming into this competition, what were you expecting? What had been your preparation with him?
You know, we had done a couple of two-star events and one advance, so this was his second advance back at the level. And, you know, to be honest, I just wanted to get him out and have another good advanced run under his belt. And I really was looking forward to getting to Tryon and riding at that venue. And so my expectation was to really just focus on what I know the horse is capable of doing right now. And I know that he's a good horse and that there was a lot of good horses in the division, but I really believe in the horse, and I think that he always has the potential to be in the top, and it's just a matter of me being able to ride him correctly and, you know, put things together on the day.
And just to summarize, Matt, of course, it was a couple of years ago that he was selected as an alternate for the Pan Am Games. And then, as I said, you had an injury with him. Talk a little bit about that rehab and what it's taken to bring the horse back to this level.
Yeah, well, we were thrilled to be alternates for the Pan Am Games. And we stepped him up to the three-star level after that preparation, and he did great. And, you know, partly the injury I blame on myself. We were new to the East Coast, and we were just figuring out what venues, you know, to run him at. And I took him to a venue that had pretty hard footing. It was middle of the summer. And, you know, in California, all footing year round is on dirt. And so it's dragged and watered and really prepared. And on the East Coast in the summer, there's not a whole lot that you can do for it. If we don't get rain, you don't get rain. And so, unfortunately, he had an injury. And, you know, mainly we just really wanted to take our time bringing him back, knowing that he's a special horse. And so we did that, just that, took our time. Really focused on his conditioning, and it so far has worked out for us, and he continues to be, you know, knock on wood, very, very sound and ready to go.
Talk about the event they're getting to try on. Was this the first time for you to ride on that course?
I knew that going to the try-on venue was going to be important for us, knowing that Super Sox and I were named to the elite list with the World Equestrian Games in mind for next year. And so I wanted to get there. I wanted to run around the cross-country track and sort of get a sense for the property. And it's a lovely property. The advanced track is a great track, and they're not finished yet. And so you can get a sense of what the WEG course track at least will be like. And I think it's going to be a difficult test.
So coming into this competition, then, what were your expectations of him, Matt? And you finished in eighth place after the dressage there on a 33.5. How did that compare? And what were you thinking about your form at the end of that day?
Yeah, I was really happy with his dressage. You know, there's still things that we're working on. Certainly his flying changes are inconsistent still, and there are some few things about the test that I think needed to be cleaned up, but I thought that it was certainly his most consistent dressage performance at the level to date, so I was very happy with it. I knew that you know, we were in very stiff competition. There are some very good horses and riders as well competing in the division. And so I was pretty happy with our placement. I honestly did not expect to move up as much as we did, knowing the horses and riders that we were competing against. And, you know, I think that's one of the benefits to being here and competing a little bit on the East Coast is, you know, you get to compete against Philip and Jenny and Marilyn and Doug and, you know, all the other riders in the division. And you just have to up your game and do your best on each day. And that's what I felt like we were able to accomplish.
Now, of course, the weather interfered with the running of the event there and the normal sequence of events. So you had to do your show jumping before you went cross country. How did that affect you? I mean, psychologically as well, you had to make that adjustment. You had your plan for cross country. Talk us through those 2 days, Matt, how they played out for you.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a roller coaster, sort of trying to figure out what the weather was going to do. I thought the officials made a good call to postpone the cross country. I believe the decision was mainly about being able to get emergency vehicles out on the cross country. So I appreciated the fact that, you know, they were willing to change the timetable. It's always difficult when things change like that, because you are sort of mentally preparing yourself to go out and ride the cross country. We had basically a day and a half to change gears and get ready for show jumping. So, you know, partly for this horse who doesn't have a lot of blood, it was a good change for him. He can get a little bit tired after the cross country, and so I thought that he was really at his best for the show jumping that evening, and I thought he jumped really well for me under the lights. It was great to get him into that kind of a environment, and he really stepped up and allowed me to think about, you know, staying on good lines and giving him a good pace for the show jumping course. And then, of course, the footing on cross country was amazing by Sunday morning. And, you know, the ground there obviously can take a lot of water, and I was really happy with the going on Sunday.
Well, you did obviously make the time, one of just two or three, I think it was, inside that time. So it wasn't easy to get. And you were in fifth place after show jumping, but you obviously were able to put your foot down to make the time. Talk about how that rode for you and what your takeaways were, really, Matt, from riding that course for the first time.
Yep. This was, I believe, Bellicoso's first time making time at the level. And I knew that we had done our fitness work, and even though the terrain is slightly rolling, I knew that it would be fairly flat, so it was a good place to try to make time with them. And I knew that all the other riders were very capable of making time, so I knew that in order to be in the running, I would need to make time. We came in on optimum, so I didn't leave myself much room, but he felt very good on the day, and he felt like I could keep pressing him. The terrain is really nice there right now, the way they have it set up. It's really gently sloping, and Mark Philip used the terrain to his advantage. And it's interesting to see what they're thinking about for the WEGs next year. There's going to be a really big pull the last few minutes of that course. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that course shapes up for next year. But this year, the footing was lovely. I thought the course rode really well, and I couldn't have been happier with Bellicoso on the day.
Well, winning these championships meant a lot more than just the horse's performance. It meant a lot to your bank balance, I understand.
Yes, for sure. We made the decision to keep BCF Bellicoso along with Bob and Valerie Fish. Earlier in the year, we were thinking that we would need to potentially sell him in order to continue financing Super Sox. And we made the decision to keep him with the goal of, you know, bringing more people on board in order to help finance him. And that was a tough decision to make. So far, we've been just financing it, him, ourselves, Cecily and myself, and Bob and Valerie. And so our bank account was down to near zero by the time we were driving into the venue there at Tryon. And so this money will go a long ways towards helping keep him fit and sound for another few months.
And what does this win, that championship title, mean to you, Matt, in terms of your career?
You know, it really is huge. The first time I competed at the AECs at the advanced level was a few years ago with Super Sox, where we placed third. And I was really happy with that result. It was probably my best national result at a championship, at least up until that point. And, you know, for me, coming to the East Coast, it's hard, having grown up on the West Coast and competed there, coming to the East Coast and being amongst, you know, all these great professionals, it has taken a little bit for me to find my stride and sort of build my confidence up and feel like I can compete. And, you know, so for me, it really is a big boost to my confidence. I have all the belief in the world in my horses, and I need to start believing that I can compete also. So it really helped give me a little confidence boost there.
Well, that's always welcome, I'm sure. Just to remind us, Matt, then, where you're based now and what your schedule looks like for the rest of the season.
So we're based in Chad's Ford right now at a lovely farm owned by Dick and Sheila Sanford. We're just 10, 15 minutes from Unionville. So it's a great area in Pennsylvania. And, you know, the horses are super happy there. And for the rest of the year, with Bellicoso, I think that we'll compete at the CIC 3-star at Morven and then aim for the Jockey Club event in November.
Obviously, this is going to be one of those career highlights, no doubt, winning the championship there at the AEC. So congratulations again on winning that title, and the very best of luck to you. Thanks for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's our program for this week. Don't forget, you can keep up with all the latest news on the website at useventing.com and by following us on social media. This podcast can be downloaded from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app, so you can listen to the show on the go. Just look for USEA in the podcast store. I'm Chris Stafford. Thank you for listening. And until the next time, enjoy your eventing.